Good evening. Welcome to 3 Mile Wesleyan Church here in sunny, hot Elkview, West Virginia on this Wednesday night, the 15th day of July, 2026. We want to welcome our online audience to join us tonight. And if you're watching us for the first time, you wonder who we are a church that exists because of Jesus. We are looking forward to giving Him all the joy, all the blessing, all the honor, and all the praise. And that's the kind of church we are tonight. So if you're here watching us tonight online, let us know you're there. Click that like button, click that comment button, let us know what's going on. If you have a question or if you have a prayer request, let us know. We'll be happy to reach out to you. All right, tonight we're doing something a little bit different. Tonight we'll be replacing our normal Wednesday devotional with a bit of a recap of our most recent conference, the Shenandoah District Conference. And 3 Mile Church sent a delegation of three people to Roanoke, Virginia this week to represent our church as is required by our Wesleyan denomination. And tonight I will share with you some of the learnings from this conference. And at the end, I will also share a challenge that was given to us by our district superintendent, Janet Guthrie. And while we were there, we had the opportunity to hear some great music, participate in some great praise and worship, and also we got to meet our new Wesleyan General Superintendent. It's Dr. Reverend Jim Dunn. Got to meet him, and also we got the opportunity to fellowship with some folks that some of us know, Chris Shin, Corey Adkins, Amanda Aliff, who spoke here at 3 Mile just a couple of months ago. Also, of course, our West Virginia liaison, Melody Smith, from the Gathering Church up in Parkersburg. First, we want to read the last few verses from the Gospel of Matthew. This passage is called the Great Commission that Jesus assigned to his disciples, and this came up during the conference. So let's begin reading Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, I'll be reading from the New International Version. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Thus reads the Word of God. Father, as we come into your house tonight, Lord, we are honored to be part of the Great Commission. God, you have given this mission originally to the 12 disciples, but God, we believe this also applies to the Church of Jesus Christ today. God, may we be motivated and encouraged and inspired and lifted up, Father, to do this, to also follow this commission in Jesus' name. So during the conference, Superintendent Janet, she pointed out that while unity in the church is a good thing, and we always like to have unity, unity is not the most important goal. And doing the ministry of preaching and teaching, guiding adults, discipling children, having an outreach ministry, these are all good things that we do inside the church. These are all good things that we should continue doing. But they're not the main thing. They're not the main thing. The main thing is to share with the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sharing the news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus should be elevated above any single church activity. And while these verses that we just read, while they may be familiar to us, Janet pointed out a statistic. There is a large percentage of Christians who have never heard about the Great Commission. Never even heard about it. So therefore, they do not understand the need to share the gospel. We should care more about how many people get saved in our church than we care about how many people attend our church picnic. So at last year's conference, I received a blue wristband. I'll show it in front of the camera here. It's a little hard to read the letters, but I got this 1 year ago. I've worn it almost 24/7 for an entire year, and it contains three words: make him known. Make him known. And this year they gave out new wristbands, and I didn't get one, but I think it says it's all about him. It's all about him. Janet pointed out that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be sharing the good news about Jesus. In Jesus, there is salvation from sin. In Jesus is abundant life. In Jesus, there is healing, there is protection, there is love, there is provision. So as Superintendent Janet reminded us all in Roanoke, I will also remind you that the church needs to actively seek ways to share the gospel of Jesus. Another speaker that we got to hear is our own Melody Smith. She's the pastor of the Gathering Church up in Parkersburg. Melody has opened up a number of different ministries as God has guided her. She pointed out during the winter of 24-25, that winter, she said it was exceptionally harsh, very, very cold, very windy conditions up in Parkersburg. She said it led to a homeless woman dying of hypothermia. So in response, seeing a need in the community, Melody converted one of their buildings into a homeless shelter. She said she removed some chairs from the center area, replaced the chairs with some cots, and then she invited the homeless people to come in. She invited them to come in, have a place that's theirs, even though it's a very small area. Have a place that's theirs. Some food and water and some love and a bathroom. You would be amazed how much that means to a homeless person. And then Melody shared some videos. She shared some videos containing testimonies from some of these homeless folks. And yes, these people may be homeless for good reason. They may be homeless because they have addictions. They may have mental illness. Maybe they have both. But these homeless people are souls that Jesus died to save. Amen? Melody commented that just like any new ministry, it always starts out problematic. You always have issues. You always wonder, are we doing the right thing? But she said over time, they saw great results. Some of those homeless people have now gotten back on their feet, and they're now involved in the church. And as we watch these videos, these homeless people just couldn't believe that somebody would actually reach out to them in love. They were amazed that somebody would actually show love to them. As our God grants opportunities, Melody and her staff, well, they mobilize. They find ways of meeting the needs of the community. That's an awesome thing. What a great ministry that she has up there. And the goal, as always, is the same: to expand God's kingdom. It's part of the mission that we're here on this earth to do. We all remember the story of Jesus reaching out to the Samaritan woman. Even though back then that was considered taboo, that was considered unacceptable, a faux pas. You weren't allowed to do that. Jews and Samaritans did not talk. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to be willing to reach out to people. People who are not exactly like us. They may not look like us. They may not dress like us. They may not talk like us. But they have the same physical and spiritual needs that we do. They are flesh and blood, just like we are. And so their bodies demand the same food, water, shelter, clothing, sleep, everything that we need, they need. These folks were also born with the same sin nature that we were born with. And therefore, they have the same desperate need for a Savior that we have. Expanding God's kingdom does not mean that we fill our churches with people that look just like us. No. It means that we go out and find people who have physical and spiritual needs. And then we got to hear some messages from some different men, Reverend John Opelowski and Pastor Brett Club. They are leaders of their churches in either Virginia or West Virginia. These particular men, these two men are experts at making disciples, training people, training the next generation of leaders. These men guide churches through consulting processes, processes that are designed to grow the church and to equip its leaders. These men also seek to uplift and grow pastors so that these pastors can in turn guide their churches towards sanctification and towards holiness. As I mentioned, our new general superintendent, Reverend Dr. Jim Dunn. He shared his passion for the Wesleyan Church. He shared his passion for us to continue developing leaders to grow our churches so that the gospel of Jesus Christ continues to be preached in the coming generations. It's our job to equip those who come after us. We cannot be content with the patterns that we see of churches that are here today and gone tomorrow. The world outside the four walls of our church needs Jesus more than ever. And finally, I want to share with you a challenge that Superintendent Janet has been promoting for the last few months. We've been getting a weekly email. I think 8 weeks in a row she sent some emails. And this challenge is called Praying on Offense. Praying on Offense. And the easy way to remember it is the 1-3-2 practice. 1-3-2. What does that mean? 1-3-2 means one space, three people, two questions. I'll go over it again. One space, three people, two questions. And before I get into the numbers, that acronym, praying on offense, P-R. The P-R is praying, O for on, and O-F for offense, P-R-O-O-F. It's like the word proof. That's the acronym. So here's the breakdown for the numbers. One space, three people, two questions. One space means this is a real, everyday place that God has already entrusted to you. Your influence begins right where you are. This can be an office. It can be a neighborhood. It can be a school. It can even be a home. One space. Okay, and then the three people. These are three specific people that God is inviting you to pray for. We desire this thing called fearless humility. Might sound like a contradiction in terms, but it's not. Fearless humility is what we need. And when we are praying for these specific people, please understand that we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to have a master plan. We don't have to have a step-by-step. But we do need to have courage to act on what we've been given. Three people. And then finally, two questions. These two questions are two questions that we are to ask of God. So, about those three people that we just mentioned, the two questions are this. Number one, God, what is it that you would like me to know about these three people? What is it, God, that you would like me to know about these three people? And the second question is this. God, what would you like me to do? What would you like me to do, Lord? You know, most of our prayers stay private, but this challenge is about us shifting this prayer into everyday life, into the lives of real people. Two questions. 1-3-2. One space, three people, two questions. And if anyone is interested in learning more about this idea, this mission of praying on offense, you can contact me or you can visit a website. It's prayingonoffense.com. Very simple. Prayingonoffense.com. And there is also an app available for your phone or your tablet. In fact, I have downloaded it. I'll show just a front screen here. If I can find it, there we go. It's a little hard to see. I'll put it up here for the camera for folks to see. This is an app that is available on both the App Store if you have an iPhone, and it's also available on Google Play if you have an Android device. This is a free app, and I just downloaded it onto my phone today, and it's only 28 megabytes, so it does not take up a lot of space. It is called Praying on Offense. You can find it anywhere. Okay, and this ministry, as we close here tonight, this ministry called Praying on Offense, it's already working. We're seeing results already. We're seeing how it's converting prayer into action all across the nation. Again, it's in workspaces, it's in schools, it's in homes, it's in neighborhoods. And at the end of the conference, Jesus invited all of the laity to come up to the front, to come forward, and to dedicate themselves to this Praying on Offense challenge. this 1-3-2 challenge. She brought us all up front. And then after she did that, she asked all of the ministerial pastors to come up also and to lay their hands on us and to pray for all of us. And I think she did this for a very specific reason. She knows that sometimes in church circles, if you're a pastor, you may not have a lot of contact with people outside of church people because you're always doing church things. But the laity, the lay pastors, the laymen, the lay women who are in the churches, she knows they're out in the real world. They're out in the workspaces. They're out doing life with real people who need Jesus. Amen. All right, as we wrap up here today, as we continue praying for our next pastor. Sometimes we are unsure what the next step is. As we pray for our next pastor, let us continue to seek ways of expanding God's kingdom and reaching the lost. We are in a transition period here at 3 Mile Wesleyan. But that transition period does not mean that we're sitting on the sidelines. Being the Church of Jesus Christ is not a spectator sport. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. We are to be active. And I encourage everyone who hears me, whether you're here in the building or watching online, I encourage everyone to begin the 1-3-2 challenge. Begin the work of reaching those near us. You know, a few years ago, we had a very similar mission that I got from a church in Tennessee, and it was called Who's Your One? Who's Your One? You may not be able to reach the entire world, but you can reach one person. Who's Your One? That was another thing. We have some posters around the building here about Who's Your One. It's a very similar kind of thing. Pray that God would send one person into your mind, some person that you can pray for. And this 1-3-2 is similar, but it's got three people. Encourage everyone to begin this 1-3-2 challenge and to work to reach those around us. And no matter who you are, be reminded that you have a God-given sphere of influence. And that sphere of influence that you have is unique. No one else has your sphere of influence. You guys can reach people that I cannot. I can reach people that you cannot. Every sphere of influence is unique to every Christian. So let's all continue to work as we seek to grow God's kingdom. And I hope the recap of the conference was great for you guys. We were certainly blessed to go to conference. We appreciate the church sending us. And we look forward to great things in our church. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for the opportunity to go to conference, to be uplifted and inspired by great speakers and great music. Lord, we are desiring, God, to expand your kingdom. It's our desire, Father, to have your desire, Father, to build your kingdom, to reach the lost, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know there's a world that desperately needs it, God. Lord, we know there are people out there that are not in church, even in our area here, that need to be in church, God. May you inspire us. God, we pray that you would send laborers into the harvest. Jesus said, the harvest is ready. It's not the harvest that's waiting. He said, pray that God would send laborers into the harvest. And Lord, we are praying for that. And as we pray for a pastor, Lord, we yield our desires and our agendas to you, God. We do not desire to force something on this church, God, but only what you desire for us. And we lift you up in praise tonight, God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.